opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production. You are now listening to the Crunch Zone, broadcasting live from my basement. This is Crunch Revenge, also known as Mike Lindsay, reversing it, that I'm sitting with Mark Wickbaker, also known as at UofoShirt50. And we are here to cry about Florida State, get ready for Boston College, talk basketball season. It's the Crunch Zone coming at you right now. All right, Mark, we got to do it.
I'm going to eat Halloween candy now.
Yeah, we have to talk about this stuff. You know, and there's a lot of things to be proud of. So we can't just be mad and upset that we lost, because I think the team represented themselves well overall.
No, you know, I think the thing is the reason why everybody's so depressed isn't because you lose to a team that everybody expected you to lose to. It's that you were up on them 21-0, and then you end up losing in spectacular fashion with your defense playing uncharacteristically. That's the worst part. The good news is that really, like, coming into the ACC, everybody, all your rivals, everybody said, you know, you're in the ACC now. You're in a real conference.
Wait till you play a real opponent.
Wait till you play a real opponent. When, you know, 2 years ago, Louisville beat Florida, who was the, you know, SEC East champion and number three in the country.
When they were actually good. SEC East actually had good football
actually
teams.
Had good football teams, and they're terrible now. But anyway, and to see Louisville go into Death Valley at Clemson and, you know, lose by six, and then to be up 21-0 on Florida State. Louisville isn't winning these games, but this is the first year of a new era. They've really been unsettled at quarterback. They've gotten Michael Dyer and Devontae Parker playing at a high level right now.
Cardinal fans certainly wish we had them for Virginia and for Clemson.
Absolutely. And, you know, even healthy, and I know Devontae said after the Florida State game, he's still not 100% healthy, and that's why he didn't score on that opening play, is that, you know, these guys can play with anybody. But, again, to the disappointment, you know, to have a team score six touchdowns against you and only one outside, you know, from the red zone. You had five plays of 20 yards or longer. You know, that's their five touchdowns outside of the red zone. It's out of control, terrible for this defense. And
a lot of those came after a third and long.
And a lot of them were on third and long, on third down. And Florida State just capitalized. They made plays. And then, worse than that, you have the Heisman Trophy winner who you intercept three times and drop four additional picks that you could have had. One of them, which would have been a pick six in the fourth quarter that would have sealed the game. Mm-hmm. And then you're winning by three with 4 minutes to go, and you false start on third down and put yourself in a position that now you're in a long, you know, long conversion, and you punt. You give the ball up. They go down.
On the 40. It wasn't even a very good punt.
and that's another thing. Is that you had a punter who previously, you know, Ryan Johnson, he struggled in the early part of the year. But then last, like, six games or four or five games, been punting great. And then what he does is, you know, 32-yard punts with the whole field. And then he has an opportunity to do coffin corner, and he punts it into the end zone.
Yeah.
And so you're like, okay, where...
Point shaming. Point shaming.
What's going on? No, obviously not. Obviously not. But, like, there was just so many things that, you know, you could pick out one play in almost... And on a bunch of these plays, if they go Louisville's way, they win the game.
Yeah.
But Louisville was able to go toe-to-toe with a 23-in-a-row team, the defending national champion, the Heisman Trophy winner.
Now 24.
And now they're 24-0. But that shows Louisville football can play.
Right.
And that's an encouraging thing. But it is a heartbreaker to lose a game like that.
It is. And I rewatched the Holloman pick where he tried to make something a little more out of it.
He should have gone to the sideline.
Should have gone to the sideline. You know, and he kind of doubled back. Once you double back one time for negative yardage, you should know that, okay, there's just nothing there.
Yeah,
but he doubled back a second time. Now, the part that I don't like about that was not that he was trying to make a play. He today was recognized to be a national semifinalist for the
Bednarik Award,
okay, yeah. Which is for
the Defensive Player of the Year.
So obviously, we're thrilled that he makes plays, and that's what he did in this game, and that's what he did there. What I was so bummed about was while he was out there trying to make a play on that second double back, which probably should have been just kneel, keep the ball. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it didn't go down that way. Wasn't the fumble. It was T. Floyd gets leveled on a block during this bouncing around, and he got hurt. Mm-hmm. And then three plays into playing defense after that fumble, which should have been us on offense, James Burgess goes for a huge tackle. He gets hurt.
Yeah, he got stinger down his neck.
So that affected us the rest of the game on defense.
Yeah, it did.
And it's not Holloman's fault. I am not saying that. Just saying it's an unfortunate. It was just such an unfortunate.
Right.
Three things went wrong on one play.
It was
a fumble, two injuries.
It was absolutely a big deal. And you're already playing short without P.O. on the defensive line. And that had an effect throughout the entire defensive line. But like you said, Holloman should have gone up the sideline like he's taught.
Yeah, and I'm not. He would have had. I love Holloman.
Well, here's the thing about that.
We're not campaigning against Holloman.
Here's the thing about him going up the sideline is that he was clear to about the 25 or 20.
Yeah.
So he would have put Louisville automatically in field goal range. And if he fumbles the ball, it goes out of bounds.
Right.
You know. Whereas if you fumble it in the middle of the field, it's fair game, and that's what happened. Florida State was able to jump on it. And we could talk about the opening play. We could talk about the Florida State that, you know, Jameis Winston throws an interception and everybody thinks it's an interception in the entire stadium. I think the only person who didn't think it was an interception was the guy who caught the ball.
Yeah.
And then he ends up running it. And two guys got hurt on that play, too, because they ran into each other.
Yeah.
And then the play before that one would have been a pick six, too, because Nick Dawson tipped the ball up and just went off Louisville's hands. And that would have gone to the house. But so many what ifs.
Yeah.
And you know, we're gonna move on.
Louisville now 6-3. It's time to move on.
Now they're going to Boston College.
So we're 6-3. We've got an opportunity to win out and be 9-3, which if most people guess 9-3 before the season start, you would still have to say with that schedule, that is pretty aggressive. You know, like for our first year with the amount of people that you lost on defense, with Teddy gone and all these superstars that you love, Copeland and just probably 10 guys that you wish you could have for this year. I think 9-3 you'd be extremely happy about.
Good
and
year.
I still feel like this team is hungry for that jewel of the season. And I do think it'll be at Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to focus on what's in front of us. And that is a very good Boston College team who just, I mean, beginning of the season, just completely routed USC, humiliated them up in Boston.
Yeah, you know, this is a horrific spot for this Louisville team to come in, sandwiched between Florida State and Notre Dame. You're going to travel to Boston College, who is a very good football team. They're impressive defense.
Like 450 yards rushing on USC at the beginning of the year. Yeah, something ridiculous.
It was 500 yards rushing
really?
Against USC. 500 and change, and they held USC to only 20 yards rushing.
Yeah.
And they dominated that game, and on top of that, they're bowl eligible. They're 6-3 now. They had a close game to Clemson. They did lose to Pitt, which doesn't make any sense. But this team's beatable. But they have Tyler Murphy at quarterback, who's from Florida. And he is very good. And he's a different type of quarterback than Louisville's played all year. Probably close to what Syracuse does on offense. But where they win is on defense. You know, if you take Syracuse on offense, then plug in a little bit watered down Clemson defense, and that's what you have. Mm-hmm. So Louisville's defense has to play. They're going to get smash mouth big time in this game. This is really going to test their mettle. Guys that if they've been hurt, and we had some guys, we're going to be without Pio Vatuve again, you know, they're going to be bruised out of this game. And the good news is that they have a bye week going into Notre Dame. But yeah, you know, before the season, I called 8-4 as my Mendoza line. 9-3 is something that I felt like they could do because I felt like they would be in the Florida State. I felt like they would be in the
right.
Clemson.
Well,
and felt like they'd be in Notre Dame with a bigger run.
Certainly, if Devontae Parker was healthy,
yes,
during the season, which you can't really. I mean, that's unfair to say superstar is going to be hurt for seven games.
Well, even having
Michael, we would have been ahead of the game.
Even having Michael Dyer in Virginia or Clemson would have been a big help, you know, in those games. you know, I don't know. I mean, the offensive line has really come along. I mean, John Miller was phenomenal in the Florida State game.
Things to take away to be really proud of.
Yeah.
The offensive line, the play of Will Gardner. I mean, that was by far his best game of the season. Like, when you factor in the fact who you're playing and
absolutely,
and what, you know, we needed to come up big on certain plays, and he was able to do that.
So. Yeah, Will looked, he had his best game, but that, again, you know, I said it before the game, that this would be one of the worst passing defenses that Louisville would see all year, you know, and I expected them to have a big, big game through the air. I expected them to have a big game in offense, and they've had two games in a row in NC State and Florida State who were very, you know, pedestrian defensively, and now they're going to change this up entirely and go up to Boston and play one of the better defenses they'll see all year. And so you saw Louisville get over 400 yards of offense last week. This week it's going to be completely different. This is going to be very similar to the Virginia games, to what they're going to do up against Notre Dame. It's going to be very similar to that.
Now, you never want to lose a game, but I think the fact that we lost this game means the guys are going to be focusing really hard and trying to get it back. The thing you always worry about is the emotion.
And it's the letdown, yeah.
Yeah, everyone's talking about they lost such an emotional game in Florida State, so you got to watch out for Boston College. But this is the exact same thing we would have said if we won.
Yeah.
Well, they just won a big emotional game. We're worried about Boston College. So the reality is you got to show up and play every week. Bobby Petrino talked about in his post-game press conference about trying to get better with the consistency, and that's what it's all about. Denny Crum was always about being very level. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. And this is the perfect game to talk about why that type of mentality and that type of goal for this team is set. Here we are post-emotional loss. It could have been the same post-emotional win, but now we're going into a very difficult road test. I'm sure it's not going to be warm.
Yeah. Oh, I have no idea. I think the high during the day is going to be in the 50s. I don't know what it's going to be.
Oh, really? I thought it would be already colder by now.
Generally as you move close to the coast, the water helps things, like, you know, stay a little bit warmer than it typically is. But it is Boston, and I think when the night comes, the bottom falls out pretty significantly. So we'll see. But
and what time is the game?
It's a 7:15 night game.
Oh, man.
So it's gonna be interesting, and I've never been, so I'm interested to go. I'm going to leave on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, basically. And it's gonna be interesting to go up to Boston College. I don't know if Louisville's ever played up there before. I have to check the record books. I know I've never been there.
I'm going to say, if I had to guess, yes, because I just remember we played Boston College a bunch, like in the Howard Schnellenberger years.
Yeah, I remember a Thursday night game that kind of got out of hand.
I mean, maybe, you know, I could be 100% wrong in that, but I do remember us having a series with them.
Yeah, I remember as a kid going to Boston College Thursday night game with Schnellenberger, or maybe it was Cooper, and there was like fights in the stands and alcohol going all over the place. It was out of control. One of those early Thursday night games.
Sounds like one of the best.
It was one of the best games. And I think they may have even lost the game. I don't remember. But same year that they played North Carolina, and it was like Mac Brown was the head coach of North Carolina, and they were really good. And it was an interesting time. My memories as a youngin are kind of, you know, fuzzy, but, you know, I do remember that.
Okay. Well, let's get straight into Boston College. we kind of cut in already, but let's hit the game of the week for Boston College.
Game of the week.
All right, Mark. So they do a lot of running on people. So what are we looking at here?
You know, you're looking at an option team. You're looking at Tyler Murphy, who, you know, they're going to do a lot of zone read. That he's going to keep it a lot. There's going to be a lot of design runs for Tyler Murphy out of the quarterback position. And they try to do a lot through deception. So what they want to do is they want to hide the football. They want to make the defense commit, and then they want to run their play. Steve D'Addario does a really nice job of coaching offense.
And he was at Temple, right? Was he at Temple?
He was at Temple, but he was also
and Louisville faced Temple with Charlie Strong.
Yep.
With his coach.
Yeah, they did. But, you know, Steve D'Addario is more famous for being the offensive coordinator with Urban Meyer during the Tim Tebow years.
Not the Temple?
Not the Temple. It's just the thing.
Not the run at Temple?
Yeah, there for a while, Steve D'Addario was the you know, he was kind of the hot name. It was like Charlie Strong was like the hot name, and Steve D'Addario was kind of the next guy people thought would, you know, break out of the Urban Meyer, you know, coaching tree and become a head coach at a major college football level.
he's found a good spot for him up there in Boston College. So his offense is really interesting to watch. I'm not very excited to play against it because it's different than everything we've seen.
Well,
we'll see what happens.
Just to strike some fear into our Cardinal brethren, Tyler Murphy, the quarterback, is almost he's 35 yards short of a 1,000-yard season already rushing.
Right, you know, I mean,
and he averages 7.4 yards per rush, and he's had a long of 71. So, just
7.4 yards per rush with sacks factored in, by the way.
And so. just to throw this out, you have Brandon Radcliffe as the highest rusher at 395. As I'm looking at these ESPN stats, I feel like they're 1 week behind because I think Michael Dyer's damn near got 300 yards in his last two games. So
Dyer is still behind Radcliffe as a leading rusher, but only by like 8 or 9 yards.
Yeah, it's so really close. I think we're one game behind possibly out of this, but the numbers don't lie. So the guy can rush. He's a quarterback with almost 1,000 yards rushing. So.
Yeah, you know, and Boston College, what they do is they don't put the ball at risk a whole lot. You know, they don't. They have some fumbles, but they are a zero-sum turnover team. They don't create a lot of turnovers on defense, but they don't give up a lot of turnovers on offense. So what they want to do is they want to play ball control. They want to try to win field position through special teams, and they want to try to break a big play. Bob Petrino talked about at Monday's press conference about how Boston College, really what they want to do is they want to run it 5 or 6 times and then throw for a deep ball and try to stick at one. Boston College throws less for less yards than Georgia Tech does, if that tells you anything about it.
Wow.
You're going to get over 50 carries in this ball game, and that's a lot of rushes in a single game to go around. And Louisville better get a nice tub.
You miss P.O. in a game like that, you know, because your D-line's going to get a lot of work. They're going to get tired.
Yeah, and, you know, James Burgess has been bothered.
He's bugrous.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened to him.
They misspelled his. If you don't know what we're talking about, they misspelled his jersey on the Showtime uniform.
It was odd, but you know he's been bothered by his. His health has not been great. Keith Kelsey's been very good. Keith Brown may have to play in this game with Burgess being out, and your linebackers are going to take a pounding. Deontrez Mount and Lorenzo Malden are going to be very key in this game in controlling the edge. And that's one thing that happened on Mount's side specifically is he did a really good job of rushing a passer against Florida State, but he allowed Dalvin Cook to go around him late for the go-ahead touchdown that put Florida State up. You must contain your edge, play your gap against Boston College, or you're going to be giving up, you know, that many big plays again, which is what happened last week.
Okay, and any word on Lorenzo? He said he was 75% in post-game interviews at Florida State. Just any talk, or they're just he's playing?
You know, it's a hamstring. Yeah. I think he'll play. It's one of those things that, you know, if you've ever, you know, pulled a hamstring before, you know that the only way to really get it right is to, you know, sit down for 3 or 4 months at a time, just let it heal. Yeah. They don't heal in 8 or 9 days. They heal in long periods of time. So he's going to have to deal with that maybe even through the bowl game. You know, hopefully it doesn't become more severe.
Okay, so Tyler, while they don't give up a whole lot, I mean, his passing is actually, I think it's 8 or 9, or it's 8 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. So,
yep.
But he has 9 touchdowns total, so that means one's for rushing. So he rushes a lot, but looks like goal line, they don't use him as much.
He has 9 rushing touchdowns.
We want to encourage them to throw the ball, and we've got
absolutely
guys that love to catch the ball.
Yeah, and Gerard Holloman, he's only 4 shy of an NCAA, tying the NCAA record for interceptions in a season. So really want to see him do that. Want to see Tyler Murphy put the ball in the air in Gerard Holloman's general direction. But I just really think that what Louisville needs to do is to get the third down and win third down. And they need to do that on both sides of the football.
Wow. One of 11 third down conversions against Florida State.
And one of, I think, 14 against Clemson. It was a little bit better against Virginia, but not much. If you're talking about the 3 losses that Louisville has in their season, almost all of them have occurred when Louisville has lost third down on both sides. And so, you know, even though they held Clemson to 2 of 11, I think, on third down it was, you know, Louisville was 1 for 14 or something like that. So that additional third down conversion that Clemson got over Louisville was huge. And, you know, you just have to execute and execute all the time. It's one thing to get yourself in the position to make a play. Keith Kelce should have 5 interceptions this year.
Yeah.
He's had 5 hit him in the chest. He has 0.
He is so waiting to blow up the big play.
And that guy he's all over the place. He's in the right spot. And he's breaking up passes, which is awesome. And that's what you want from your defense. But if you have a guy like him who's got his hands on that many balls, haul it in, man, and take it to the house.
Yeah.
You know, and he hasn't done that yet. He should probably have 4 or 5 touchdowns on the year. He has 0.
And you're rooting for him, and you know it's probably going to happen. So
great kid. He's just not finishing the play.
And with Holloman, as you mentioned, kind of short of the record, Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout, for those who are on Twitter, he's talking about Landon Collins of Alabama, and he says the gap between him and Gerald Holloman shrinks every single time he watches the Louisville game. Is Holloman going to be a one and done?
Well, see, that's the thing about
he starts,
Holloman.
He's gone?
I don't know, because this is the one thing about Gerard is that, he has a lot of interceptions. He doesn't have a lot of tackles. He's not very productive. I don't feel he's shown that he can be physical enough to leave early in the NFL. I think what this is going to do is he's going to have a lot of hype going into his senior season. This is what I think he should do. And I think Charles Gaines, before the year, I would have told you that Charles Gaines probably did tell you that I think Charles Gaines is leaving after his junior year.
Yeah.
Now, after seeing him play and seeing how offenses are targeting him, if you look at Florida State, if you look at Clemson, they ran these little short plays over to Charles Gaines' side because while Charles is an amazing coverage corner, he's not a great tackler.
He's got to stop
and
the
so,
ball when it comes
and so
in front of him.
These teams are forcing him and isolating him to make him make tackles, and they're able to get 4, 5, 6 yards. And if you do that in college, in the NFL, you're going to be a big liability. So, to me, I feel like Gerard and Charles are both...
Got something to work on.
And
we're learning this as we see Marquise Teague, Kentucky, was waived. And we're seeing Deron Lamb, Kentucky, was waived.
Yeah.
And we're seeing Fad Mello, you didn't pick Louisville, is waived.
Yeah, total different sport.
Is that you can get to the pros fast.
Yep.
Or you can get to the pros and have a long career.
Right.
You know, and that's the whole point of college, you know, for these guys is to develop your body, develop your game, develop your mind, and then have a long career, make tons of money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't need to rush it.
And in the case of Charles Gaines specifically, I know we started this out by talking about Gerard, but Charles, you know, he's got a kid, so he's kind of, you know, he's got responsibilities.
Sure.
But I'm thinking about for him becoming more of a Sam Madison guy who could tackle like Terrell Floyd and cover like Charles. You know, and that's what Sam Madison really was. And people are avoiding Charles Gaines' side of the field through the air, but they have no problem running sweeps to his side. They have no problem running screens to his side. They have no trouble running plays over there. And so that's really where he needs to make teams pay. When you come over to my side, I'm going to force the ball out. I'm going to strip, fumble. You know, I'm going to make things hard for you. And that's what Will Gay does in the NFL. Will Gay doesn't have the coverage ability that Charles Gaines has even now. You know, but Will Gay is a complete cover corner in the NFL, and he's been in the NFL for almost a decade now.
Right.
And
had a nice little pick six 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. But he does it because he is skilled in several different ways.
Right.
He doesn't have a liability.
No one-trick pony there.
Exactly. And so right now, Charles Gaines is more Deion Sanders. And while Deion made a career out of it, the NFL and everything is different now. And he has to really adjust.
Okay, so when Louisville has the ball, it looks like Boston College has got a few guys that you got to look for. You've got Josh Keyes, linebacker, 4 sacks. You've got... Brian Mihalik?
Mahala. You got Steven Daniels.
4 sacks, and then...
Josh Keyes, you know, 10.5 tackles.
Malachi Moore, defensive end, 3 sacks. So they're getting sacks from different areas.
They spread their sacks around a lot. They don't create a lot of turnovers. So I think right now it looks like they only have 6 turnovers gained on the whole season. And that's not a lot. And that's good news
but
for Louisville.
Looks like tackle for loss might not be
their tackles
a bad
for loss are outstanding tackle for loss team, outstanding at rushing the passer.
Yeah.
They're really stingy on allowing yards and allowing third downs. But the only bad thing is that their offense can't really make up for a lot of the difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's that's kind of what's holding them back. But they are 6-3. They're bowl eligible. They're really looking to take Louisville's spot in a preferred bowl lineup. By if they can beat Louisville.
Right. This is an important game for your cool bowl matchup or not.
Yeah. This is the card's last chance to make an impression in the ACC in terms of bowl availability. Now, you can do things right. more nationally.
It's the last game.
It's your last ACC game.
Notre Dame is not ACC. Right. Kentucky, obviously, senior day.
You can do more nationally, you know, maybe get in the Gator Bowl. If
we're already done.
Yeah,
our first year in the ACC, and this is it.
It's wrapping up, and you know it's a difference between finishing third or fourth in your division. God. And so, do you want to finish third or do you want to finish
right?
Fourth?
And man, oh, we can cry about spilled milk. Have a spilled milk section.
Yeah,
or section bucket.
I don't. Whatever know. You want to do
with the old Parker being hurt, just crybaby stuff.
It's fine.
God,
it's fine. You know, Louisville needed to be ready, and they replaced their coach, they replaced the quarterback, they changed conferences,
and then they lost their star player,
and then they lost two star players.
God, you know?
and
dude, so, sucks.
And they're still 6-3 on the year.
Yeah.
So you know, silver lining.
Let's take this bitch to 9-3.
Exactly. If you take it to 9-3, it's a very good year. And guess what?
We'll be ranked
next year.
Right.
You start with Auburn in the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
Yeah.
In Atlanta. Big time game. Auburn may be a playoff team. We'll right. see. And it's a statement game to start the year. Remember right. how much juice A&M got to start the year by going on the road and beating South Carolina? Yeah.
And here's the difference.
That's the same
thing. Everyone will know Auburn's good.
Everybody will know Auburn's good. And you don't expect to have a collapse like South Carolina's.
And Texas A&M.
And A&M.
They both collapse.
Right. So, you know,
Georgia's collapsing.
It's just a good example of how you can build goodwill towards the top 10 to start the year.
We go 9-3. What are we ranked?
I think if
we're like 32nd.
Like 32nd. If you beat Notre Dame.
In the SEC, had we lost to number two in a close game where they say you should win, you probably move up.
We really want Notre Dame to win this week. You want Notre Dame to win this week. But then, you know, if you beat Notre Dame on the road, it's going to be cold. You know, you got to figure you're a 17-18 type team. Then you go to Kentucky, you know, even though they're kind of collapsing right now. What happens at the end of the year is everybody starts to lose. And so there's a big churn, especially in the bottom half of the poll.
Yeah.
And so you can start to really shoot up there.
And then really a lot of motivation for your bowl game going into the next season.
I think potentially you could see Louisville finish as high as, you know, 12 to 15. But things have to really fall in the right place. The win against Notre Dame, if they're able to beat Notre Dame in Boston College and Kentucky, the Notre Dame win would add the most credibility, particularly if Notre Dame continues to win.
Well, some of the things we want to fall in the right in place correctly would be the win bucket. Just keep
Absolutely.
Winning.
The Just games. Keep winning. The rankings will take care of themselves.
The win bucket always helps your ratings.
And one of the cool things is that in the bowl game, you know, Louisville, if they play in the Music City or the Belk or the Russell Athletic or the Gator, they're going to have a really neat bowl opponent. Even the Sun Bowl would play a Pac-12 team. And, you know, right now the Pac-12 is really interesting.
Right.
The one team I don't want to play out of the Pac-12 actually is Utah. I don't want to play Utah because their defense is ridiculous.
Yeah, they came up and beat us with Braum, with Greg Thorpe, right?
Yeah.
I don't like
that. That was 2007.
I don't like coming to Papa John's and kicking us around.
And then they beat us when we had Greg Thorpe a second time when we went out there.
What is a Ute?
A Ute? It's a Utah person. It's a Utah person.
Is that really?
Yeah. Is that from my cousin Vinny? Actually, I wonder. I think maybe maybe because their whole symbol is a Native American feather.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's like a tribe. I don't know that to be, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I think that's what it is.
I don't want to offend anyone. I think it's an elephant with a unicorn horn.
Oh, okay. That's not offensive at all.
I just want to make up a new animal, so I've done it. That's a Ute.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Ute.
You're welcome, world.
Well, why did they use an Indian feather?
We're getting offensive.
Don't they know?
Yeah. You know, you can't talk about anything. All right, so what's your prediction for this game? And who do you think is going to be the X factor? We know that they do tackles for loss. We know that they spread the sacks around. We know they don't turn it over around. You know they run well.
Yeah.
What is the key to success for Louisville against Boston College? And this is pre-entire sheriff write-up that you
Yeah,
like
you
to
know,
do.
I mean, the
but early week, peak.
I think, you know, containing Tyler Murphy is a big deal. If you can contain him, lock him in, and get Boston College to third down and win third down, that's key number one. Number two, Louisville's not going to be able to run the football. Michael Dyer's been playing really great. but that's not happening here. So Will Gardner is going to have to throw. And I know Devontae Parker has been playing really well, but James Cook had one catch against Florida State. That's got to change.
Targets. Do you know how the targets went? I can look up targets later.
Maybe I can look up something like that.
Because I actually was curious about that.
Yeah, because you know,
I know he didn't really have much of an impact on the game except for on punt returns.
And so, yes. You know, and if I
love this kid so much, it sucks so bad. I know they're switching to Eli right now. And by the way, if you all remember, Eli gave you the biggest heart attacks in the world. He would catch anything and everything in traffic. Yeah. And he tried to make everything a touchdown. So I don't know that our heart's going to feel any better, except for Eli is a senior now. So I'm sure he has a different approach.
Yeah, my whole thing with James Quick is that if I want adventure, I'll put in Indiana Jones. You know, and you know, I don't want adventure on my punt returns. I just want to possess the ball a lot of times, and you know, having a big play is huge, but like, why are you calling fair catch and then fielding the punt and trying to take off?
Yeah,
that's number one.
Because UConn did it.
Yeah, that's why. It doesn't work anymore. Louisville doesn't get things that way.
We don't get the Big East West for these calls. No, thanks.
Louisville doesn't get those. So anyway, but I think Louisville's going to have to throw the ball to win the game. And Will Gardner had a great game against Florida State.
He did.
I feel like his confidence should be riding high. He will not have as easy as a time of a time against Boston College as he did Florida State. But if he can hang on to the football and not fumble and keep that part of his game going, then because Boston College is going to hit him, you know, that's a big step forward. This is going to be a more frustrating game offensively for both sides. And so it's really going to come down to a couple plays here and there. The line right now is 3. I don't see it much past that. I think it's going to come down to some plays in the fourth quarter. I would hope that Louisville can win. I think that would tell us a lot about this team if they can, coming off this emotion, having a bye week, and Notre Dame out there is you know, it could be distracting. So
offense is Will Gardner. Defense, who's the player?
Your linebackers. I mean, you can pretty much bank every game. D'Angelo Brown, Sheldon Rankins, and B.J. DeBose are going to cause problems. What we can't bank on after seeing Florida State is, will they contain the edge? Will they make tackles within the first 2 or 3 yards like they should? If that happens, Boston College has no shot. You know, they don't have a chance because I don't see them moving the ball. Louisville secondary is going to be balling. I know they dropped 4 interceptions last week. They got 3. If they put the ball in the air, it's going the other way.
Boston College doesn't want to throw the ball.
They don't want to throw the ball.
That 8-6 touchdown interceptions telling you it's a crapshoot.
They don't want to throw the ball. They want to run the ball. And if Louisville doesn't contain, then they'll be able to run the football.
Hopefully we can contain. And one thing that gives me a little optimism for that is Jameis Winston was certainly known for being elusive in the pocket and getting, you know, I mean, certainly he can throw, but you've seen a lot of big runs by him. And against Louisville, he really didn't have a lot of big runs. He had one that I can really remember that was really good. But for the most part, they kept Winston pretty good job.
This is kind of a totally different type, though. This is more, if you remember Pat White and Steve Slayton, sort of, you know.
Yeah, I remember them.
Sort of like that.
Thanks
now.
For punching me in the nuts on a podcast.
Murphy and, you know, and Hill aren't as dynamic as those two, but they are effective, and they have that deception, and you have to be able to see the football, and if you don't, and you collapse down when you should be standing outside, well, now you've given up 8 yards.
Okay.
And you have to be able to stop that.
Well, then with that, if that's what they are, then I think the defensive key players to this game, for me, would be Lamar Jackson and Omobi Okoye.
You mean Malik Jackson?
Malik, I mean.
Yeah.
I would love it if they were recruited on quarterback.
If those two guys were actually, I think
they
Malik's
did great against Slayton and Pat White. They did great against those guys. All right. Well, okay. So what you know, you don't think the point spread's going to get much more than 3? But give us a score. What's,
you know, I would have to say it'd be like 21-17, somewhere.
21-17.
Okay. You know, 21-18, 20-17, somewhere in there. Like, and I would love to say that Louisville was going to win. This is just such a bad, bad spot for them. And I'm going to go all the way to Boston.
Yeah.
And I know there's probably not more than 1,000 people going up there. But, yeah, if Louisville wins this game, it says a lot about this team.
Okay, now with that, all right, so we've got the big game. Is Louisville done with the Reggie Bonifon package?
No, I don't know if they're done with it. I mean, I think they were hesitant to use it against Florida State. There was one time when I felt like they should have ran it and they didn't. And, you know, actually it was the Sandberry play where it went off his hands. I was thinking that would be perfect for Reggie to come in, but it was the fourth quarter. Yeah. He hadn't seen any action. It's a critical play.
Crucial. It's unfair to ask him to.
Unfair, but I do think it would have worked.
Opinion on that was, because someone did ask me, because, you know, Louisville got a little stale on offense there in the second half a little bit. And they're like, you think we're going to see Reggie? I said, honestly, if we use Reggie at all in the first half, I thought, yeah, we could see him for a series, but we didn't use him at all in the first half, so there's no reason to bring him in the second half.
No, Will did a great job in that game. You know, the offense did stall, but that wasn't entirely him. That was some of the play calling and then, honestly, some of the execution on the team. I mean,
With the tackles for loss, that's why I bring it up, is because if they get in the backfield well and they have this over-pursuit thing going on where they're trying to sack in the backfield and all that, seems like a mobile quarterback package might be useful, not to replace Will, because Will's doing a very good job, but just to give their defense something else to be concerned about on occasion.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a screen draw game here where you can really catch a big play, which will be great if you had Corbin Lamb still. But, you know, you have Dyer, you have you have Brandon Radcliffe, you have Dominic Brown, who's been a kind of a missing man, and LJ Scott has been in favor a little bit too. So, you know, this is a game where you might be able to catch them napping out of the backfield, but you're not going to live on it. You're going to maybe catch a big play on a third down or something like that.
Okay, so we've got the players of the game, offense, defense, the score prediction. Mark's going to Boston. That'll wrap up the game of the week. But we've got basketball to talk about next, so let's hit that now.
Basketball.
I've got the recorded version. I got to admit, it's a little better.
Oh, yeah.
But that's okay. I don't want to say yours was an excellent.
Yeah, mine was good.
It was very good.
No, it wasn't
good. Void of any music, though. You know, the acapella basketball by a non-professional singer is
very
second place to the original.
Why are you hating on me?
All right, so let's talk basketball. They've had their red-white scrimmages. Now they've played against Barry, who... it was very embarrassing that they were out rebounding us like 20-8 in the first half.
But that's the thing about it, man.
Let's talk about the team. What did you see out there? And I'll tell you some of my early observations.
Well, you know, I mean, it's an exhibition game. So, and you know, they were out rebounding Louisville 20-8 at one point, but Louisville was killing them on the scoreboard. And you know, when you have a lot of made baskets on your end, you know, it's whatever. You know, that's my personal opinion on that. Is don't get too excited or too down or freaked out about exhibition basketball games, especially when you win. Rick Pitino did what he set out to wear out his starters in that game, and he absolutely did. He went out there to prove a point, and it was that his starting five can't play 40 minutes. They're going to need help from the bench. And so what he did was he wore them into the ground and put the guys that he ended up having to put in sort of a pressure situation. You know, Barry, not a good basketball team. They ran with Louisville for a little bit. But it's exhibition basketball.
It is.
And I'm not going to get too excited or too disappointed about it, to be honest with you.
Okay, well, certainly can't judge it. Yeah, there's so much improvement for this team because of, you know, they got like six newcomers or more.
Yeah.
That they got to work into the equation. So I get that. But just eyeballing things. Two things that always crack me up is the red-white scrimmage always produces very good stats for the freshmen.
Incredible stats.
And then when you hit your first exhibition, they're almost void of stats. And
right.
I don't know if that's nerves or your red-white exhibitions just turn out to be a full court, just sprint back and forth, no defense, that kind of thing.
Well, in the case of Anas Matmud, I mean, he didn't even get into the game. Until very late. And then Matt Stockman, you know, he didn't get into the game until very late. Shaquan Aaron didn't even play, you know. So, and I think there's more, and Rick Pitino said there's more to it than that, than the fact that he's got strength issues. I think maybe there's a little bit of an attitude adjustment thing happening with the true freshman who's coming from Seattle, is highly regarded,
right,
and he's getting his ass kicked every week,
it's
every
an
day.
Ego adjustment, and you're far away from home, and your network of support that you have.
Yeah, so I think...
This is part of growing up, though, and this is good. This is good for every kid to go through.
I think Anton Gill, you know, he was the only player that was negative in the plus-minus. So you want to see more production out of him. I think the one thing that you have to see is better ball control. This team did a really nice job of not fouling Barry, and that was a big point of emphasis for Pitino, is to see if these guys could play an entire game and not get into foul trouble. Nobody did, except for Anton Gill. And that's huge. You know, that's one thing that I was looking for. Mm-hmm. The rebounding and all that other stuff, I wasn't paying attention to that.
Yeah, but you know one thing that scares me? Because, you know, when you lose an offensive juggernaut like Russ Smith, I don't like looking at the box score and saying that you can't get five in double digits against someone who's absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Because that scares me. Like, when you go out and you need some points, it's like, we're going to be drawing from a very small pool of people, which I think gets us vulnerable in foul trouble, gets us vulnerable in a, you know, like a, where they key in on them defensively. So these are the things that mean nothing at all because it's a preseason game.
Right.
But when I look at it, I'm like, oh no, like we might have some scoring issues this year. And I know Shaquan didn't play, so you know he could be a part of that answer.
I don't know
as it gets out there.
Yeah.
And then you know as you look at the bench, Okoye, I know he's kind of getting better. But we had this. He's had not, this gigantic leap forward.
No, he's not ready. I mean, he might play a little bit. You know, yeah. He might be one of those like end of first half if Montrez is in two foul situations where you put in Okoye Gal for 5 minutes to survive. But if I'm an opponent of Louisville, I'm attacking Montrez Harrell in the. You know, I'm going at him. I'm gonna try to get him
off the
fouls.
Court and then.
But what that could do is create some steal opportunities for Jones and Rozier. But they're not going to be able to play as aggressively as Siva and Russ Smith did a year ago because they just don't have the bodies. I think if you get Quentin Snyder to come on board and get a little confidence there, you might see a little bit more.
But you certainly could. And that's another reason why I don't want to knock him too much because freshmen aren't really that good. I mean, unless you're Kentucky and you get the NBA-ready freshmen that are top five. But typically, freshmen aren't really giving you. Usually, even at the beginning of conference season, they're not really contributing
a
lot.
It's later in the. It's like in late February,
And you get the occasional good game. I mean, you remember Montrez. I mean, Montrez had a couple of good games, and then what we really remember was that awesome game he had at the Big East tournament.
The Big East tournament.
The end of the season,
out of control. So it's like his Kyle Keurig moment. Almost.
So I don't. You know, I know we can't expect a lot out of the freshmen already. I just know that. I just hope they can provide us rebounds, and then if we're lucky,
defense.
You know, well, their defense are just not going to be very good.
Shinanu Onuwaku, I think, will be a good defensive player. Right now, I think Shinanu, or Nanu, as we're calling him, is basically Steven Van Treese with shot blocking. He's not a great offensive player, but he's tall enough and he's athletic enough. He calls problems. He's good defensively. Yep. I think that's the one freshman that you will see. And I would love it if somebody else could come along and really make an impact because this team needs it.
So, kind of like we said at the beginning of football season, that is now materializing.
Yep.
Be fair to the team. It's going to be – I mean, Rick's already saying it anyway. But just – this isn't our guaranteed Final Four teams like we thought we'd had the last 3 years.
They're going to have to grind.
They're going to have to grind, and we're going to lose a lot of games. And not crazy bad. I mean, not like, oh, my God, what a – you know, how many are we losing here? We're going to just get a lot more than we're used to. And
maybe.
They'll get better.
Maybe. I mean, you know.
Their schedule's ridiculous.
They open up with a really tough schedule. You know, I know Jeff Goodman doesn't think it's any good, but.
He doesn't?
He said it was like one of the worst non-conference schedules he's ever seen. So, which I think is ridiculous when you open with Minnesota. You go, you play Ohio State,
Kentucky,
you play Indiana, and then you play Kentucky. I mean, you know, what else do you want? Louisville's playing in the ACC. It's the best.
Right.
You know, when the Louisville was in the Big East, it was the best basketball conference in the history of basketball.
Yeah.
Now it's that times two being in the ACC. So it's
most
ridiculous.
Schools don't have two good out of conference.
No.
We have four.
No, I mean, Kentucky plays, you know, Kansas.
And really more than that. I don't want to take away anything
some
from
teams.
Some of the mid-majors that Rick typically tries to schedule the guys that are top two or three in each conference.
Yeah.
So you can work the RPI and it's fair.
There's some, and you know, look at that Ohio State game specifically. D'Angelo Russell's on that team. He's from Louisville. You know, that's going to be a huge game for him.
Yeah.
You know, it's not good when you play against a guy who can drop 30.
Right.
And he's from your hometown.
And you can't get five double-figure scores against Barry.
Okay.
That I know I keep saying that, but that scares me.
It scares me. I mean,
we're used to Russ Smith filling it up.
But you know, Chris Jones can get hot. Terry Rozier, I think, can absolutely get hot. Wayne Blackshear, I mean, I hope like crazy this is the guy that, you know, the guy that we saw against Mary. I hope that he's the guy that we see all year. I don't know that yet because I don't know what to expect out of him. I do think we'll get a lot from Trez. I love our backcourt. I do. I think it's going to be solid. I don't know where the outside shooting's necessarily going to come from, though. And so we'll see how this kind of goes throughout the year. I think they came out top 8 in the AP. That's pretty high, in my opinion. We'll see if they can live up to it.
It's just respect for all the hard work they've done. I mean, they've been the winningest program in basketball the last 3 years. They've had 3 consecutive 30-plus win seasons.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to compare this team as far as like some past Louisville teams, I would say 92-93, which is Dwan Weed, Osborne, Rozier. They had a great starting five, which I think we have a fine starting five, and no bench. And that's kind of our situation right now, is no bench. If we develop, all right, so we can develop some guys, get a couple in that rotation, then I'll throw us in the 2005 bucket, which is an 8-man rotation, but we might have to be reintroduced to the zone. I don't think we're going to be able to press and run quite like we used to until we have bodies that we know we can count on for production per game.
Yeah.
So we might have foul trouble. So we might have to stay away from some of that pressure pressure defense, because that's just going to rack up a few fouls, especially if they call the touchy fouls like last year, which I think they're easing back from.
I will see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But without reliable subs, you've got a 6-7-man rotation maybe.
Yeah.
And foul trouble can annihilate you. So I think we're probably going to see some zone this year until we can develop a few more people off the bench.
And I think people will zone Louisville too, because until they show that they can shoot from the outside consistently, you know, teams may really just be happy to let Louisville fire away from 3 without any kind of help. Because why would you let Chris Jones and Terry Rozier drive the lane and dish to Montrezl Harrell?
Right.
You wouldn't, because that's a bad plan. So Louisville needs to get prepared to see the zone, and and they need to find a jump shooter. You know, Wayne Blackshear cannot be that guy that stands out there. He's got to be different this year.
Yeah.
So you need Chris Jones to knock down threes. You need Terry Rozier to knock down threes, and you know it's got to come from somewhere.
The key to the season.
The key to the season.
On 1 minute flash analysis that I've provided.
Goodness. Oh goodness.
The key to the season will be free throw percentage.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, I mean, they were 10 for 20 the other night.
Here,
50%. That's
not very good. Here's why. Because if we're going to get a lot of guys in foul trouble, we're going to need to get scoring. Where we can get scoring is with Rozier and Chris Jones drawing the fouls.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're able to get that going, if we're able to get points, we got to get points from somewhere.
Right.
So if we don't have the bench and our scoring's a little down and some of the freshmen aren't ready, then you got to get them from somewhere. We're going to get it from the free throw line.
Yep.
I hope to God they're ready to shoot free throws this year, and then I hope we use a lot of penetration with our guards. Take advantage of what you have, and you have speed with Chris Jones. Rozier is very crafty with the ball. He's not a bullet like Chris Jones is, but he can just fool you with his handles.
Right.
So I think they can get to the line, and we need to be able to be prepared to shoot really good free throws, and that'll be the difference for us being a good team or a great team.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, if you ask me that question, I'd say Wayne Blackshear playing to the level of a second-round NBA pick would be the key, because I think you're going to see Terry Rozier play as a mid-first-rounder. I think you'll see Montrezl Harrell play as a top-5 player. And if you can get Wayne and Chris to play in that second-round, like, level, well, then you've got 4 players who are going to get picked in the NBA draft, and that's a good thing to have.
Yeah.
And I think the bench will come along. I think Anton Gill will be able to hit some shots here and there. Yeah.
He can definitely fill it up. So
right.
It's always been about the defense.
Right. And so, you know, I think the bench will come along. And, you know, I'm excited to see how this team develops. And but, you know, until that gets going, I'll be off football.
Yeah.
That's me. You know, I'm off football.
And recruiting. So we'll hit some program updates, folks. It won't be long. We're getting ready to wrap up the podcast. But before we go, let's hit some program updates.
Program update.
All right. Well, we'll make this really quick, but it's worth noting.
Yeah.
The Florida State game impressed a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think the recruits that were there all felt like, no, Louisville was better than Florida State tonight. Florida State won the game, but Louisville outplayed them. And it was reflected in many commitments.
Many commitments.
Over the next day or two.
Yeah, the two JUCO guys from out west, Arizona.
Tim Cook, great running back.
And Khalil Hunter.
Yeah, huge offensive lineman that we needed.
Both those guys will play next year. I think they're both going to try to come in January. That'll be good. You had a player come in, wide receiver from Michigan, who's going to be
Fitzpatrick.
He's going to be
he's a four-star wide receiver.
But he's for 2016, so it's going to start building into that class that already has Baylen, Blue Buchanan, and Keaton Torre on that class. But that's 2 years away.
Right.
And then he had
Darius Smith.
Darius Smith, who's a big-time. He's going to move into a four-star category.
So what will his position be? Because some you see linebacker, you see him athlete, and then you've seen a very high, like, five-star rate recruit on his team. He said, this guy's the best athlete on the team. Whatever sport it is, whatever it is, you give it to him and it gets done.
Yeah, I think it's one of those players where you come in and you see where he fits in camp.
Yeah.
Because why pigeonhole him right now on a recruiting board? If he could play wide receiver, if he could play linebacker, if he could play safety.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably a guy that you'll end up seeing on the defensive side of the ball where Ty Grantham uses him. Kind of where Deontre's mouth is right now. You know, a long-rangey guy who can rush the passer. Or do they put him in there and play James Sample? Or do they put him at wide receiver? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think he's such an athlete.
Of the team that year, maybe.
He's such an athlete. You don't put pigeonhole. Trevon Samuel was on campus. He's going to enroll early. And he is the key to this Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia thing that Louisville has going on right now. All these guys want to play with him because he's one of those magnetic players that is a playmaker that everybody believes in.
Yeah.
He's the key to that. The key to Florida is Lamar Jackson. And everybody saw
this.
Man,
I hope we can hang on to him.
Lamar Jackson's amazing. But Louisville's got some really good things right now. Right now they're the number 20th rated team ranking recruiting class in the country, which, you know, that won't stick, but, you know, maybe it builds. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
For a first year, I'm happy. I'll just be honest. I'm happy because you got three losses. You've had, and you could have had a better season than you had because you had a hurt star player on 2 year losses that definitely wouldn't have been losses, in my opinion. And you haven't been in a home of a worth a damn player for 3 years like Bobby Petrino. Mm-hmm. I think we are ahead of schedule as far as getting into the homes that we want. I think these guys are great so far. These, especially if we hang on to them, a great recruiting base as far as a base class for him. And when you lose a Florida State game, what you don't want to do is have the recruits lead and say, I don't want to be a part of this. But when they left, they said, I want to be a part of this.
I want to be a part of it because I think that they can get it done.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what they're saying. And it's rare, and one of the reasons why they're able to have success right now in the recruiting shows is because Bobby Petrino's offense has holes to fill.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're a playmaker, you want to be in Bobby Petrino's offense. They also have a great defense right now on Todd Grantham. And a lot of that defense, a lot of that core will be back next season.
Yeah.
And so that's exciting. And so if Louisville, I think it may take another year for Louisville's offense to get going. But when it does, it's going to be awesome.
On like donkey.
And I think it will make improvements next year. I don't know with the offensive line problems and losing Devontae and Michael Dyer how it will
and actually perform. A lot of offensive linemen.
But it's going to be more of a system change
and
more of a, you know, a culture change on offense that
will be like more efficient but not maximized.
I don't think it will be. Yeah, I don't know if it will be as explosive. You know, as it has been the last two games.
Yeah.
But if you take the other seven games that they've been this year, you compare those seven games to what Louisville's going to look like next year,
it'll
be way better.
And certainly Fitzpatrick, the four-star wide receiver, saw Devontae Parker's 200-plus yards against Florida State and said, I want to be that guy.
Right. Well,
and Tim Cook, the running back from East Arizona Community College, I think. I could be a little bit wrong there. So Michael Dyer run for 150 yards against Florida State and said, I want to be that guy.
Hopefully, Dawu Green out in Oklahoma saw that too.
Absolutely,
wanted to see it because he's a major talent that Louisville needs to hang on to.
And I don't know. Well, I mean, if you're watching at home, you're like, oh my, Louisville is boat racing Florida State.
Yeah. How is this happening?
Yeah.
And you know, of course, Florida State came back and won.
Boo.
But everybody believes that Louisville is a real deal team, and we'll see if they stay in the playoff poll. I don't think they will, but You know, it's possible. Okay. There's not a lot of great teams of 25 or less.
And the final program update to say is Montrezl Harrell is AP first team All-American, and that is not surprising because everyone was surprised he came back from the NBA draft. But probably what is the cool statistic to pay attention to is this is the third player in Louisville history to be preseason AP, and Purvis Ellison was the first. Russ Smith was the second. Montrezl Harrell was the three. Rick Pitino producing two of the last three, two of the two players from his era, and in the stroke of development would be Russ Smith wasn't rated in the top 150 of any recruiting rankings and was a first-team All-American as a senior. And Montrezl Harrell was as high as 82nd in his class, and he lands himself in the first-team AP All-American. I love Coach Rick Pitino and these kids.
Not too shabby at all. I mean, you know, Montrezl Harrell, he deserves that. His game is very much
Nobody improved. Works harder. Who could work harder in the world than Montrezl Harrell
He's
at anything?
He's a bad man. You know, I'm excited to see his game this year. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch, but he definitely deserves that. And I think it does say a lot for Coach Pitino that he's got two guys outside of the top 75 who are now going to be first-team All-American.
All right, well, folks, hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. We got a big game against Boston College. Hopefully we're talking about a win next week as the Cards head up to Boston with their wicked smite.
Boston, wicked smite.
And check us out this week and every week for the Crunch Zone podcast, thecrunchzone.com. Mark is always loading us up with tons of content, both uniquely created and analysis through statistics, as he does. We can check us out on Stitcher Radio. You can check us out on Louisville.am, our partner, and you can check us out with immediate downloads from iTunes. You can set us up with the podcast. So thanks for joining us this week. Mark, you got anything that you can think of for the Cardinals?
Go Cardinals!